How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Hey, Chicago, it's Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about data centers in Illinois. Now, hold on. I know, just that phrase, data centers, it might make your eyes want to glaze over, but please stick with me here, because it's hitting your wallet. What if I told you those data centers popping up around Chicago and Illinois are powering the artificial intelligence that you use to do everyday things, like search Google, request an Uber, or even discover a new show on Netflix? Now, what if I told you that those same data centers are power hungry? They are just sucking up an insane amount of energy and millions of gallons of water that we need too. And in Illinois, that's meant headaches for policymakers and residents alike, including ComEd customers who will see higher bills starting this month. So, what are Illinois residents getting out of this? What's the material benefit to us? To find out, I sat down with Sarah Moskowitz, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board in Illinois, and Brett Chase, Environmental Reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Brett started off with helping us better understand what these massive data centers even do.
It's a large building or a campus of buildings that house, you know, computers, computer systems, and more AI, research applications. It's a just a fast growing area, and you're right. We're seeing a real increase across the country, not just in Chicago or Illinois, but they're big and they're popping up and they use a lot of energy.
Yeah. And when we talk about the ones that are popping up here in our state, where can we see them? Are they just kind of out in the middle of nowhere, like where you would see an IKEA be placed, or are they near our homes and residential areas?
Yeah, not so much residential, but that's right. Like out in the, out the suburbs, out in the country. DeKalb has a big one operated by Meta, I believe. Hoffman Estates, where Sears used to be headquartered, there's a demolition being finalized, I think, to build a big system out there, big campus. Here in the city, we've got the old Mercantile Exchange building in the Loop that's being converted into a data center. We have a very different, unique type of campus that's being proposed for the southeast side on the old steelmaking site, U.S. Steel site. It's quantum computing, which is actually different than AI.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that data center for Meta in DeKalb, and it makes me think of a recent New York Times piece that's out right now, and it talks bigger picture about this race for for developing more AI, right? And these tech giants like Meta building up their data centers in areas in which they end up guzzling water, right? And it's leading to problems for the people who are living nearby. So the place the piece looks specifically at a county in Georgia. It's called Newton County. And it's basically saying that the Meta data center is using up so much of the area's water that they'll be in a water deficit by 2030. So I'm curious, we've got one in DeKalb, as you just mentioned. I mean, could we see some sort of nightmare like that here?
I personally haven't seen that yet. That is one of the concerns that was brought up with the quantum center.
Okay.
and right on the lake there. But that and energy use are the two. And energy use is the thing that we're actually seeing right now with our electric bills. Yeah.
So if listeners open up their ComEd bills this month, they're going to see a spike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, bills just went up at the beginning of June, and that is largely as the result of forecasted data center demand. In fact, the independent market monitor that keeps an eye on PJM, that's our grid operator that serves the ComEd territory, the independent market monitor actually said that the increased load forecasting that led to these spiked capacity prices is 100% due to forecasted data center demand. So we're already seeing the impacts of that here on our ComEd bills.
So these data centers, from what I understand here, you're saying they're to blame for this spike.
Well, the data centers aren't entirely to blame. It depends. There's a lot of blame to go around, Sasha. You know, I think consumer advocates such as CUB have been critical of the operators of the wholesale energy markets, specifically PJM serving ComEd, in how they have developed their market rules in a way that we believe help prop up expensive fossil fuel power plants. There's also problems with how they set their forecasts for energy demand. So this power price spike is the result of a spike in a capacity auction. Mm-hmm. Now, the capacity auction only accounts for part of what we pay for our electricity.
And so everyone understands a capacity auction is what exactly?
So that is basically... I'm trying to think of a polite way to say it because one of my former coworkers referred to it as the No Generator Left Behind program.
Okay.
Essentially what it is it is a way to pass the costs to energy users to pay power generators to ensure that they are capable of supplying enough electricity if we end up needing it.
Okay.
So we're paying not just for the power that we are using, but we're also paying for the power that we could be using. And in order to predict how much power we're going to be using, we need to have standardized, rigorous methodologies. And that's part of the problem that advocates like myself have pointed out with PJM and other folks, is that we have yet to really establish a really uniform method of forecasting how much of that anticipated data center demand is actually going to come online, because we have strong reason to believe that the tech companies are shopping around in a variety of jurisdictions, and so perhaps they're putting in interconnection requests for one data center in multiple utility territories. So we know only one of those is going to get built.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, are those other territories counting that towards the forecasted need?
Yeah. And so we were making the point earlier, Brett, about these data centers using up a lot of energy and using up a lot of water. Help us wrap our minds around how much exactly and why that is. What are they using it for?
Sure. Well, I mean, it takes a lot of electricity to power these things. And so a large data center could be the equivalent of the power you need for like a large neighborhood or even a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger they are, the more electricity. So artificial intelligence, I can't tell you every single piece of this, but you know, artificial intelligence uses a lot of power. And if I could just interject something on the dynamics here. I mean, we here in Chicago belong to a regional electric grid system. And each year that grid operator goes to the power companies, goes to the new, you know, operators, the coal plants, the gas plants, and they say, you know, how much power can you supply? Because we've got these estimates, we're gonna need a lot. And again, it's because of these data centers, you know, in large part. So then, you know, this is figured out, you know, a year in advance. And then, it really just comes down. It's as simple as saying it's a supply and demand issue. So what's been happening over the last decade or so is like we've seen coal plants go out of business. Coal plants used to be the big, you know, power source, right?
Yeah.
And we all know they're dirty and nobody wants them anymore. But they provided a lot of power. So when states like Illinois started looking at like, well, we're going to look at, you know, phasing these out altogether and bringing on new, cleaner forms of power, which is wind and solar. Well, that's great. But what's happening is those sources of power aren't coming online quick enough, mm-hmm. and the coal plants are retiring, and then you have this huge demand for, you know, data centers, and then we end up paying the bill, even though in Chicago we have more power than we need.
Right.
But because we belong to this like grid with a bunch of different states, it means like whatever happens in Maryland, you know, because they're trying to get all these data centers too and building right. them. Then, you know, we're paying the price for it.
Yeah. So using a lot of energy, as you described there, and also the water is to cool things down. Mm-hmm. Yes. In Illinois, data centers get hundreds of millions of dollars in tax subsidies. It doesn't seem, though, that they bring a ton of permanent jobs while they're, as we described, sucking up all this energy and all this water. So it is hard to wrap your mind around the pro here of having more of them in our state. What are state officials hoping that they bring to us?
I mean, the governor sees this as an economic development, you know.
Well, he's all about these.
Plan, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, it does, you know, it is a tax base, right? You know, they're bringing, you know, they'll bring more taxes. They'll be here for a long time. And, you know, I think there's also that shiny new toy aspect of it, too. You know, it's like, you know, tech is cool and AI is cool. And, you know, so, and we don't have a lot of AI. In fact, I'm not sure we have a big AI center here, although yeah. like that DeKalb Meta, they don't really say what they're doing there.
You're
there,
shaking
there
your
are,
head.
Yeah, there are actually. Illinois is unique in that we have regulations on the books here that essentially make it very difficult for these data centers to process files that may contain biometric information. So you may have heard of BIPA, which I can't remember what it stands for, but that's a big concern that kind of gets in the way of the development of AI processing data centers and AI learning, because it's hard.
The Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act.
Yes. And that makes it more difficult for these data centers to take on those kinds of tasks.
Yeah. Well, State Senator Steve Stottleman introduced a bill that would require these data centers to report their energy and water usage. Let's listen.
We need basic information. How much energy do they require? What's their water usage? And until you have that fundamental information, I think it's more difficult to create policy on attracting data centers, but making sure they're paying their fair share so that ratepayers aren't it's not burdensome on ratepayers. So unless you have the basic information, it's just, again, it's very difficult to generate policy to make these types of decisions.
Sarah, does the data center industry seem willing to provide that basic information?
No, not according to the meetings that I was in back in last session in Springfield. They're pretty resistant to any kind of requirements of this sort on them. I appreciated Senator Stadelman's efforts to try to shine a light on the energy and water usage here. But, you know, these guys have a lot of political support. You mentioned that the employment at the data centers after they're built might be minimal, but mm-hmm. getting them built requires a lot of labor. And so that's been a dynamic there.
But these end up being temporary jobs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And so they thus far have not shown much willingness to budge on this or any of the other proposals that we've seen on the table around, you know, requiring them to bring their own energy, and make sure that they're not passing on their costs to Illinois consumers in any way. There are a lot of possible solutions to this problem. Here in Illinois, because we are a restructured or deregulated state for electricity, the tools at our disposal to really bring this problem under control are more limited than in a state, say, like Indiana, where regulators actually can dictate where and what kinds of power plants get approved to build. In Illinois, ComEd doesn't own power generation plants. In other states, your distribution utility also owns power
Why
generation
plants. Why is it set up
plants.
That way?
Oh, that's a whole other show.
All right.
You know, we were restructured in back in the late
90s. We'll do a follow-up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, Brett, piggybacking off this conversation here, what are the reasons you might be hearing about why renewable energy sources aren't online yet?
Yeah, that depends on who you ask. You know, for one thing, the whole grid system and the grid operator is, it's been a little archaic. You know, it's not really set up for these new types of energy. I mean, in the old days, you know, we connected the coal plants together, right? You know, it's like, so, you know, part of this is on this this grid operator that Sarah mentioned, PGM, but it's also the politicians need to figure out this new world. And they had an opportunity in Springfield this past spring, and they just dropped the ball. They had something ready to go, and apparently some of the business groups didn't like it, and that was that. So I don't know how Illinois gets to its clean energy goals, which were set under a major energy law just passed, was it 2 or 3 years ago, Sarah? It's like, it was called the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act.
Yeah, almost 4 years ago now.
That pledged to phase out coal and gas.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And coal was on its way out anyway. The gas plants were really undercutting them, plus, you know, when renewables were, you know, so heavily subsidized. And now we have a whole other question with the Trump administration, you know, de-emphasizing renewables. So the one thing that might be a savior, and this is something for the legislature to address, is that there are these, like, giant batteries that are battery operations that are created that can suck in all this energy and store it and then re-release it, basically. You know, mm-hmm. one of the problems you have with, like, I mean, wind and solar is great, but, you know, but they only operate certain times a day. You know, like, if it's not windy, you're not going to get wind power.
Right.
If it's not sunny, which, like, at night, you're not going to get, you know, solar power. But you got to capture that somehow.
Right.
The nuke people have been saying this for years, and we're kind of unique in Illinois that we have like 6 nuclear plants, and we get a lot of nuclear power. But then again, we're on this grid system. So again, whatever happens in Philadelphia or, mm-hmm. you know, or well, Pennsylvania or, you know, Maryland, I mean, it can have an impact on us here.
Absolutely. Reset's Aryan Kumar spoke to Eric Palm, who's the village manager of Hoffman Estates. That's a community that's hosting a Microsoft data center. Now, Eric said that questions of energy usage are broader state and regional concern. So let's listen.
In the equation of everything, right, you're looking at a lot of revenue coming in, a diversification of your economic development base, and not a lot of costs or expenses. And in the instance where there has to be additional investment within our infrastructure to accommodate the needs of the data centers, those data centers are required to pay for those improvements, and they do. You know, we've seen some instances where, you know, regional facilities in our area for electricity have to be upgraded. And certainly those benefits not only just the data centers, but the community as a whole.
Have you seen instances of investments from data centers actually strengthening power grids, Sarah?
I can't say I can point to anything in particular along those lines, but he's correct in that data centers do have to pay for the upgrades that are required to bring them online.
Yeah.
That's how the tariff currently works. I think that is one big aspect that we are worried about, is just ensuring that those upgrades aren't done and then have the data center not show up or have the data center only be there for a couple of years before it's been able to pay that off.
Yeah.
The other aspect I'm really glad that Brett brought up is kind of how this increased demand for electricity represented by these facilities can be at loggerheads with our state's really ambitious clean energy goals. I think that is a big concern. And I just want to underline what Brett said earlier about how I think eyes should be on Springfield, maybe as early as veto session, to try to get something across the finish line to kind of help bolster the tools that we have to offset this. But then there's another aspect, which the gentleman from Hoffman Estates didn't mention, which we've been talking about earlier, which is the supply of the electricity itself. And are we going to be in a position, it seems like we already are with this most recent PJM capacity auction result, are we going to be in a position where residential customers are essentially competing with Meta and Amazon and all those guys for the juice. And who has all the power when it comes to that?
Who's got the juice? Right, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing like these major investments in power plants by these big tech companies. Microsoft is bringing Three Mile Island nuclear plant out of retirement. We had Meta, which is the parent of Facebook and Instagram, just make this big investment to subsidize a central Illinois nuclear plant. You've got also Amazon and Google making huge investments in power, and they haven't really figured it out. We're hearing a lot about nuclear power, and we're hearing a lot about something that is really still in kind of the test stage, which is these small nuclear generators, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think they're called small modular reactors.
SMRs, yeah.
Yeah. So ComEd customers, they're going to see their bills go up for the time being. What would you say, in summary here, needs to happen at the state and regional level for these prices to come down, Sarah?
Well, we're going to continue to push the grid operator for better policies and better market rules that actually can support the development of more prudent clean energy options, not just renewables, but also, mechanisms for greater flexibility, demand response programs, programs that actually provide a market value when they're able to reduce our need for electricity. Things like ComEd offers an hourly pricing program, dynamic pricing, and things like that to incentivize basically lowering those peaks in energy usage that end up being so inordinately expensive. But then at the state level, like we mentioned earlier, there are a lot of things that are state senators and state representatives can do, and there's a lot of advocates pushing for it.
Yeah.
We were pushing for a bill, which we call CERJA, Clean Reliable Grid Affordability Act, mm-hmm. that would bolster our batteries, require development of innovative programs like virtual power plants, bolster our energy efficiency. These are low-cost, cost-effective tools that, in this climate, we are relying on the decision makers here in Illinois to make
how
happen.
How optimistic are you about whether they'll be able to boost that power grid and attract more data centers, but also ensure that residents don't see what we've been talking about, higher bills?
I feel pretty good. I think this hurts. You know, this big price increase right before summer cooling season is problematic.
It's not great.
People are suffering as a result. I hope that our decision makers in Springfield see this as an opportunity, however, to, again, kind of take the lead, become a national leader yet again in energy policy. We've done a lot of good here in Illinois, and we're not done.
Yeah, we'll leave it there for now. That's Sarah Moskowitz, who's Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board in Illinois, and Brett Chase, who's an environmental reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Great having you on.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Aryan Kamar and edited by Meha Ahmed. It was mixed by Sienna Greaves. Want to hear more myth-busting conversations about the Chicago region? Stay subscribed to this podcast. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Let's meet again this afternoon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.